Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
progress on Internet of Things temperature sensors. And what I'm doing is slowly launching off, basically unassisted. I sort of write to people and they do sort of offer help sort of weeks after I contact them. And of course, by then, things have gone across. And it's, I suppose, it's that, part of learning to swim. You sort of try and swim to the edge, try and get your floaties on to get in. It gets you in the water, so to speak. So I'm learning the hard way, and perhaps you're learning with me as I'm walking along. Now, this evening I'm going for a little walk. I was trying to think today. I've just spent today chasing up equipment, soldering things together, taking kids around the place, watching a movie called Oliver, the old 1970s, sort of classic, all singing and dancing musical. However, getting back to what we want to talk about, this is the idea of an Internet of Things, machine to machine sensor. And it's one of the basic things you say is, I have a student and I can hand him a thermometer, but look, I can really hand him an array of sensors which report to his mobile phone and require no work whatsoever. It's sort of ultra smart. And people have been there before me, quite honestly. And you're saying, oh, well, why can't we do it? Well, the reason that a teacher can't do it is that they're very busy. I'm off to the side and I can sort of, in the quiet, think through. And what happens is you interact with people, they give you negative feedback, and you say, you process that, and you just say, well, that's a negative feedback. They're not going forward. What is the way forward? So the way forward is to give a sort of a singing and dancing module, which measures the mass, pH, pressure, and temperature. And obviously, one of the flaws is measuring the temperature at a particular point, given that you could measure many temperatures and report them. And it's sort of one of the flaws is you don't want them reading a thermometer and writing it down in the book and all that thing. You want them to set up. In fact, you want them to set up on an experiment, the experiment to log itself while they're down doing something else, setting up more experiments or organising things. So there's a lot more productive things to do. Although it's one of those interesting things, training people to actually commune with their equipment. To look at their equipment, feel the equipment, place the equipment, think the equipment, and all that type of stuff. I suppose that's from weapon instruction, where you get people to handle the equipment over and over again, they become a bit more competent. And I'm sort of very much aware of that with myself in terms of handling soldering irons and stuff, being able to get aware of it. Now, so we've got to measure temperature. And the great thing is that I've just uncovered it by sheer stupidity. What can happen? So just to steal the thunder before I go too far, there's a chip. It's 5 millimeters across. 5.58? It's some incredibly small distance across, just basically a bolt, and it's got three wires out of it. And essentially, you can just bang as many on these on a three-wire bus, ground, signal, and power, and it's completely smart enough so that you can actually string hundreds of these in a string. I don't know why they don't actually sell it that way. Sensors, you can put hundreds of these sensors around, and they're about $1 each. And this is basically get that under control, stick it into your Arduino Mega, and you've got yourself a sensor. Now, one of the things you want to do is have basically a thermometer that you put in your beaker, and it measures the bottom, middle, and top of the beaker, and the atmospheric pressure, and something else. You want something a little bit similar measure heat diffusion. So about five sensors that you, deployable sensors that you want to be able to go ahead. That obviously puts you way ahead of it. Or about five sensors. About what you want to do is, let's say someone's doing a series of reactions, sort of adding different strengths of chemicals together, and you want them to pour in five little beakers with five little detectors on it, so you can automatically get a world of data which you can get. Now, it's a big question. You'd say, look, I was brought up with just a simple bulb thermometer. It worked for me. All my friends used it. In inverted commas, I hate you, please go away. But that aside, you just keep on listening to them, and they say, look, $3, you can't beat it. Well, yeah, $1 is a lot cheaper than $3, and it can do a lot more. Now, the other idea is that by data logging, you've got the data there all the time. It can be 24 hours a day. You can do heaps and heaps of stuff with it. This chip, I'll have to talk about it. Now, I've sort of gone off, having been a physicist and done vacuum systems and things like that. Thermocouples are my sensor of choice, and thermocouples are basically a thin wire junction, so they've got a very high temperature range. You can go up to thousands of, or 1,200 degrees, stick it in the Bunsen flame, freeze it down, you can go across, and basically you can buy a thermocouple gear for around $3. Basically it's $4, but I've checked the invoice, $4, and I bought a gang of five of these, put them together, and this is a different, this is working up to this realization. I got the gang of five together, and certain things I should have been able to know, certain things I couldn't know. I wasn't to know that the actual plug had a huge nut on it, and therefore was very hard to deploy, has a large thermal mass, sort of nightmare material for a thermocouple. So, like, if you've got something with a slow response time, a large thermal mass isn't a horror, but something with a large thermal mass with a thermocouple in it is sort of like, it's like a degree of insanity. Yeah. It's like selecting an opera singer, with a really clear diction and kind of projection, and then getting them to sing in a crowd at a football field. Sort of, the voice is lost. You have to listen to it for a long time. It's here we go, here we go, here we go, rather than this operator. That's a certain way. I haven't described it very well. And so, with this, there's a few things to do. So you can actually, whittle it down to one port per sensor, and with the Arduino you've got what I realise now is I think 34 extra ports going across, and so you've got ports to spare, and so you can get 5 thermocouples, and basically the chip is there's a sort of a dumb chip which is a 6658 or something like that chip, or there's a good chip which is an 18 something or other, and the good chip it sounds like good chip. Now the good chip is just better. I think it's a dollar more, and you can just have thermocouple heaven. And so it doesn't cost all that much to go thermocouples, and thermocouples allows you to bounce some flame, allows you to do a whole heap of things. And basically, I was tracking down how to plug this into Arduino, and there is a bit of a thing. Now, I suppose, firstly, no one's looking at what I'm doing, but from experience, I know everything comes down to cabling. So if you can wire it together in an afternoon, bespoke-wise, point-to-point with cables all going everywhere. So, like, the worst thing I've ever seen, the worst cabling I've ever seen is the cabling on the internet, where people have their Arduino, their circuit boards, and you see them move in these huge, big looms of wire, and it's just a complete dog's breakfast. After this I'll go about the wiring, so I looked at that, and the essential thing is that I've looking at the outputs and just running it through and bit by bit picking up errors and how you'd account for it, and thinking how to do it. So at the moment it measures the each chip thermocouple measures the temperature, and I've determined that the actual idiosyncrasy of temperature measurement is not to do with the thermocouple, it's actually to do with the chip, which is rather good, because you can calibrate a chip. That's the end of it. You calibrate the chip, and that's the end of the story. But there's sort of a way of doing it. Now, simply here it reports back. So there's a lot of software in the chip, and so it converts the voltage to what it thinks the temperature is, and so which is sort of approximate to a quarter of a degree average, and it puts that out in terms of the data for you, and in order to make that 1/100th of a degree an integer, I've had with the absolute genius of multiplying it by 100, so it makes it a I-16 integer easily. What a fantastic thing, an I-16 integer, and then that can be stored as 2 bytes, sort of like no worries. But if you made it a floating point, it would take twice as much, probably a third bit. It would be just a disaster to do a floating point for it. So it's out there. Then I went down the path of saying, well, how do I can now calibrate these cheap chips exquisitely and get exquisite results out of this. So how do I get the absolute temperature? Is there even in my batch of 5 thermocouples, there were 2 good, 2 moderate, and 1 bad. Not bad, they were as reliable, but there was a systematic calibration error. So is there something out there which I can do? And so that led me to read about this Dallas sensor chip for $100. So it's a little, basically, not the size of a pea, but smaller than that. Sort of a current with three wires coming at it, and Dallas sensor, and it's I think to make it waterproof, which is something like that, it's about $3-$5 a sensor to plug in. And sort of, oh yeah, look, I might do that. But there's one thing I do know how to do is package sensors such as they're waterproof, and you know, say if water does get in and it wrecks it, it's only a buck, you know. It's not something worth, you know, if it's a dollar sensor, you're not going to spend $10 or $5 waterproofing it. I don't know, like, you could spend a dollar waterproofing it, or you could spend $10 waterproofing it, and the dollar would last, well, yeah, one for $100, and for $10 would give you one for 1,000 or 10,000 operations. And then if you look at that percentage down, it's just definitely there's no value in doing that, because you're going to be doing this for every sensor. It's, I don't know, I have sort of put things in production, so I know ahead of time what's going to be stupid economically to go ahead. And so these sensors basically were as good as the actual sensor on these chips. So the bad chip is a bad chip. The 666 chip is sort of like stupid. Like, it doesn't go negative temperature. It can't go negative temperature. It just completely goes, like, it's inside the chip. It can't do negative temperature. That's because the software isn't upgraded inside the chip. So, you know, this is, you know, the software inside the chip. That's, you know, what do you do? And you know, if you thought software inside a chip is mad, you just wait for this. But in the 5.5 one, I thought, or 15, the more expensive one, which does the full temperature range, higher precision, has an onboard temperature reading chip, and so there's a temperature reading on inside the chip, and that's bloody good. That comes for free, and you think, hang on, if I put my thermocouple on the chip, it might. This is a very good temperature reading, and so you're scratching your head, saying, oh, what can I do? And so you check up and you find indeed that you can deploy a chip as a sensor. And this is what this sensor is. It's called the DS18B20. And I sort of remember that because, oh, here's a piece of lump of ice. Ice? Yep. Lump of ice. Someone's just throwing a lump of ice here. Yeah, so look, it's 8. I remember that as 18B20. Yeah. I command you 18B20. So I can remember that. And Dallas Sensors, obviously, they want their. Someone's proud of the. Of the word Dallas, something like that. So it's a DS18B20. And this is a chip, and it took me a while saying, oh, look, what's going to happen is it's going to be cheaper for me to buy, and I've got to wire it up with a pull-up resistor. So what you happen is you have your sensor line, and so your ground sensor and high voltage, or the 5-volt line, and the 5-volt line you connect to the sensor line with a well, they say a 4.7k ohm resistor. Now, you can buy the chip for a dollar, but for $3 you can buy a breakout board with the chip soldered in and a resistor soldered in. You go, that's crazy. Well, I'll just get the resistor in. And then you say, well, what's the circuit diagram? And when you look at the circuit diagram, you go, holy shit. Or there is that they have five of these sensors, and all the sensors are connected to the same port, the same digital port. All at ground, all to high voltage, which is reasonable, and then all to this one IO port. What's going on here? Has someone sort of done for sensors what I'm trying to do for the whole modules? So just listen to this. So what happens is each chip is given a unique serial number, like a car serial locking number. It's got a unique, and it's 64-bit. So 64-bit is just something sort of an unimaginably large number. So each one's produced has got a serial number. And what the software does, it wakes up and it does a hello. It powers on. There's a signal put out the AO, the signal line. It's going, hang on, wake up everyone. And then they wake up and they start to report their serial numbers. The software then reads the serial numbers and then starts to go up. Serial number bar, what are you? Serial number bar, what are you? So now then it's, it's a much more, each chip itself is more reliable, but I think that'd be calibratable. But the chips are 14 bit rather than 12 bit. So 12 bits gets to a quarter of a degree extra 2-bit divides that by 4, so that's just a little bit over a 0.6 degree, and that's every second, and so there you go. Have a 4.7K resistor between your output and your high voltage, and then you just chain them along. And what I was saying is that this is taking out, letting the software and the chips manage what's happening. So essentially you could have a million of these along a line, and that you'd get a million data points and you'd be able to know what's what. Now there is this complicated thing that you can actually ask the sort of get a chip, stick it in, get a serial number, and then put it aside. Or you can actually create a chain and then teach your system what the sensor is by putting your finger on each sensor. The temperature goes up, and then that's, pressing what I think is sensor number 1. It thinks it's sensor number 9. You map it across, so that's the way to go. But this is the general philosophy out there. There's an existing philosophy out there of letting the software, the smarts inside the chip, do some of the administration for you. So what this has done is that they have said, well, look, we're going to put the smarts inside the chip such that this person only needs one wire to sense all this information. Sort of like end of story. And the software, and so what happens is your dude is going to measure temperature. And someone has invested the time to make a high-quality, fractionally-cost chip that can go across. Now, the message is that I can buy them for a dollar for a pack of them. If you're going to have a whole country put the entire whatever it is, do it, you could possibly get it for even cheaper still. And for me, I was looking at the engineering of, I thought, five wires, I've got to manage five ports going back. You know, that's not that's no difficulty. Now it's completely removed it, and you know, I've got to think whether now it's three wires. Do you actually convert that to a stereo jack and just put, because it, you know, the actual signal isn't at no place analog. It's sort of analog. At the point of, you know, like the digital silicon's right hard up against it. Now, there's a sad point, is that this is a maximum temperature of 125 degrees, i.e. you can't stick this little baby in a Bunsen flame. So, you can make the package, you don't have to make the package out of anything except, I suppose, silicon shower waterproofing. So I could well imagine some sort of acid preparation. It's a bloody package, and then you add a bit of silicon dag over wiring, and you know, you've just got to really think. I suppose the other thing to do is that what essentially you really want to do is have at least a few of them, three of them, at the end. You want to have two freewheeling that can be placed thing, and then you want to have three of them on a spiral spring. That is, they're on a spring, and what that means is that they can go into a beaker, but then they can be automatically positioned distances apart. So, you know, a spring, you can pull the spring in and out, and so it's, in this case, you just have a wire, and in this some sort of wire which separates it, I don't know, some sort of molding wire, and a spring, so you can say get a 2 centimeter spacing, 5 centimeter spacing, a different spacing, get that automatically there. And so the moral of the story is, I suppose for me, is I want to do it, I want to get up, and I'm going to start researching. And you know, how do you find out if you've got no friends, no one to speak to, no one to guide you? And the people, I don't know, the people you speak to, they're, I can't speak to, I don't know, they tend to go in and look at, you know, you're doing all this amazing stuff, and then they switch off. So they think, oh look, you're getting it to go to the internet, you must be fantastic. They'll ask you a bit about thermocouples, you'll explain about it. Sort of the knowledge sort of blinds it out, so you don't get that normal stuff. Yet you've got this example, and people listening to me will know that I've sort of gone through this various things. So this is a bit of a wake-up thing, that I've got to buy five of these Zelus 18B20, a DS 18B20 chips, and a 4.7K resistor, because I don't have one. Just equally available. I'm not going to. I've got these really cheap variable resistors, but I'll just buy one of them. And then it's the architecture. Basically, I'll get all five up, just in a breadboard working. You know, why not? Yeah. And then It's the making it waterproof, and this big thing, a big waterproof cable and a big metal sheet around. Yes, it is, you know, like super waterproof, but it's, you know, we make bathrooms waterproof, you know. It's, you know, it's it's not all that hard. Now, it's, you know, what is the casing? You know, what is the, got the highest thermal conductivity? Just the casing itself. You can put it in a brass tube like that and seal it off. But, you know, like, we are really getting down the sub-dollar stuff. And there's... you could do strain relief, but again, now one of the interesting things is that yeah, you've got this thing that it's a circle with a flat face on it. Do you actually have this thing where it goes out to an end bit, or it goes out to it and then you sort of you get your wires to go over in that gap, you know, and just glue it up that way with a bit of epoxy to do it. And again, look, 125 degrees will soften your aerolite, but you can get sort of a hard epoxy there. So that's my general view. Now, just to go back, I sort of know exactly what's happening as what Dallas has been doing for these sensors is doing for a sensor. I'm doing the same for a sensor module. So it's the same idea, that is, it's a thing and it just works. This is what I'm aiming for, a thing and it just works. And we'll get going through. So again, these little chip temperature sensors, you really can't beat them. And there's heaps of things that I'm learning how to do. And you basically... ground, 5 volt, and then one wire, data wire, and it's one wire does all. That's, and the software does it. So I physically know it. I suppose the moral for me is there's nothing like actually getting out there day after day, pushing along. And I don't know if you, there are these things that if a group, if someone becomes isolated or a group becomes isolated, they've actually got possibly a better chance of survival than if they're in a loose group and the group is not going well. There's an example in that in small groups, bad leadership kills people, and that is... that's in sort of a, say you're lost with a group of people and you've got a bad egotistical leader who's confused and stuff like that. He will kill everyone at the end of the day. It's better that they weren't there. Now, this is sort of similar to if you're in a work environment and it's bad, you're just not going to get there. So I think I am getting there. It's really, really slow. Just as I look at things, I'm putting things together slowly. It's taking... hours today to actually put these little servos above my mass balance to lift up the weight and to zero it, and that's taken hours, and I'll get through and get this done. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast.
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.